Amen. Isn't it a joy to sing praise to our Savior? What an opportunity and privilege that is ours to praise Him for who He is and for all that He has accomplished for us. I'm so glad that when He saved me, He put a new song in my lips. Aren't you glad of that? I am so thankful that He did. Luke, the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, this evening is where we will be. Luke chapter 10, we'll read verses 25 through 37 as we begin, and then have a word of prayer. Don't worry, it won't be a thorough exposition of 13 verses tonight. I did tell Gabe that regardless of how many songs we sang, I still would preach for 2 hours, but I'm just joking. Maybe. We'll see. But let's look to Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, read down through verse 37. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he, Jesus, said to him, the lawyer, Thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise." Let's pray. Father, as we come to, again, this time of looking into the Word of God, I pray that for these few minutes, you would open our hearts and minds and eyes to you and the truth that you want for us in this service. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and fill me with your Spirit that I might preach what thus saith the Lord, not in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. Please be with each listener here in this auditorium and listening by way of the internet. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to make a commitment to you that will last, will be fruitful, and we'll praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Several months ago, we set out to progress in our Christian walk from unfulfilled commitments to fruitful commitments. You remember we simply entitled this series, I Will. Moving beyond saying, yes, I should do that, and I might do that, and saying, I will do, and then following through. And today I want to conclude this series with a brief challenge to make a commitment to making a difference. As I look at Luke chapter 10 and this account found in the Word of God, I am attentive to that thought that there was a man here who needed somebody to make a difference in his life. And thankfully, someone came along and made that difference. When your life comes to an end, none of us know when that will be, do we? Not a one of us can say, I know when my life will end. But when your life comes to an end, what difference will you have made? Whose life will your life have touched in a positive way for the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe with all of my heart that we need to make a decision that I will make a difference. That my life is going to make a difference to someone. That my life will count for someone, for something to somebody else. In our text, Jesus was confronted by an ardent student of the Mosaic Law who sought to justify himself and earn favor with God. And let me just remind us that that is not possible. This man came to Jesus and asked, "What good thing can I do to inherit eternal life?" He wanted to justify himself and merit favor with God. And my friend, there is no one who can justify himself and merit favor with God. Not a person can live up to the standard that God has set. And Jesus makes that very clear. He asked him a question. Jesus did. He said, "What is the law?" You understand, if we were going to justify ourselves and merit favor with God, we would have to keep God's law perfectly. And by the way, the scripture's clear. God didn't give us his law so we could try to attain righteousness. He gave us his law to show us that we were sinners, to lead us to Christ, to help us to understand, I can't save myself. I need the Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for my sin. But Jesus was going along with this man's thinking and asked him, "What's written in the law?" And the lawyer answered correctly. Jesus gave credence to that thought when he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus says to him, "You've said right, you've answered correctly." Jesus would say in another passage that it's on these two tenets that the entire law and the prophets were hung. These two thoughts. If you love God as you should and you love your neighbor as you should, you have kept the law if you do that perfectly. The lawyer, though, who thought very highly of himself, thought that he could pull a fast one on Jesus. He's trying to justify himself, and he says to Jesus, "Well, who's my neighbor? If that is true, Lord, that if I keep that perfectly and thus merit favor with God and justify myself, who is neighbor?" You might define neighbor differently than I do. Who's my neighbor then? You see, even in the Jewish mind, they had the responsibility before God to love their brethren, those of their own nation in particular, and hate their enemies. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you've heard that it's been said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. In fact, the Jewish people believed that even if a Jew were to pass a Gentile woman who was in labor and in distress, that they should not help her and help bring another Gentile into the world. This was the way they thought. And so the man asked Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" The lawyer assumed he had Jesus cornered. But Jesus' response, found in the story of the Good Samaritan, opened the lawyer's eyes to God's heart. And I want you to look up to the build-up to the climax of Jesus' teaching here. The account of the Good Samaritan, we find there in verse number 30, this man. He was on that road from Jericho to Jerusalem. It was known in the day to be a very dangerous road. It was a place where robbers could hide easily and then attack and ambush passersby. And this man was traveling on that road. And had that happened to him, the thieves came out from their hiding places, ambushed him, stole everything that he had. The Bible says they ripped his raiment from him. The thought is they took every single possession that he had. They left nothing with him, and they wounded him so much that the Bible says here he was half dead. They left him for dead. And the truth was this: if no one came into this man's life and helped him, he would die. That's what would happen. Here was a man who needed someone to make a difference in his life, and if no one acted, he would die from these wounds. I want to suggest to you that there are people like that all around us. It may not be a physical wound that they are suffering that will lead to a physical death necessarily, but there are people all around us who are struggling. They need somebody to come into their life and make a difference. It might be some lost person who is headed for a devil's hell. It may be a believer who is discouraged. They're in despair, and they're even approaching depression and defeat in their lives. And if they don't have a brother or sister in Christ come alongside them and encourage them and exhort them, they may just be ready to walk away from the Lord. They need someone to come along and make a difference in their life. And I want to suggest to you tonight that there are people like that all around us who need someone to make a difference in their life. That's where the man was in verse number 30. Look at verses 31 and 32. We find this priest and this Levite. Two men set apart to be servants of the Lord. They had an opportunity to make a difference in this man's life, but they didn't. Here's the picture. The priest comes along and he's walking down that road. He sees the man from a distance, and the Bible does not give us any thought about their thinking or what they were considering at that time. But he sees the man at a distance and makes the decision to avoid the situation completely. He just walks around the other side. But then the Levite comes along. He does something a little different. What's the Bible say about him? The priest saw the man and passed by. The Levite, the Bible says, he came and looked upon him. Can you get this picture? Let's say this chair is the man in the road over here. Here's the Levite. He sees him from a distance. He comes right over and takes a look. That guy's in rough shape. And he walks away and does nothing. Why? I mean, here's two men, priest, Levite, servants of the Lord. Two men that you would think would step in and do something for this man, but they didn't. Why not? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, does it? Jesus doesn't give us any reason for why they did this. We could even come up with some excuses for them. Perhaps they were busy. Perhaps they had an appointment. Perhaps, if you know Jewish law and tradition, they wanted to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, to touch this man and aid him and to have his blood come upon them would make them ceremonially unclean. And perhaps they thought, well, hey, God, I am not helping this man for you. I'm on my way to do your business in Jerusalem. And if I touch this man, I'll make myself ceremonially unclean. And so I don't want to help this man. You know, it's amazing that sometimes we can come up with excuses that we think are really good. Let me ask, do you think that their excuse, whatever it was pleasing to the Lord? Of course it wasn't. C.H. Spurgeon said about this, "I never knew a man refuse to help the poor who failed to give at least one admirable excuse." Isn't that the case with us so many times? We can come up with really good reasons for why we do or don't do certain things, and I'm sure that was true for this priest and Levite. Are you ever like the priest and the Levite? Might I suggest to you that our lives are not just about getting from here to heaven? You understand that? We sing the song sometimes, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." And that is true. We are pilgrims here. But my friend, if you think your life is all about just getting from here to there, if you think your life is just about passing through and getting through and reaching that place called heaven, I want to tell you tonight, your life is not just about getting to heaven, but your life should be about the people you meet along the way and the difference that you can make in their lives. In John chapter 4, wasn't that Jesus' focus? You remember in John chapter 4, he had been in Judea. He was headed to Galilee. He had told his disciples, I need to go and preach to the cities there. But he did not say in John chapter 4, I need to get to Galilee. What did he say? I must needs go through Samaria. Do you see the difference? What was the difference? Yes, he had a purpose in Galilee. Yes, he was headed there to preach to the cities of Galilee also, and not just restrain his ministry to Judea. But his life wasn't just about getting from here to there. Just as your and my life shouldn't be just about getting from here to heaven. His focus was about knowing that there was a divine appointment that the Father had for him there in Sychar of Samaria. He knew that there was someone there who he would meet, who needed somebody to make a difference in her life. Oh, that Samaritan woman was seeking and searching for fulfillment and satisfaction everywhere. She'd been married 5 times, was with a man then who was not her husband, but had not found satisfaction. She had not found what she truly needed. And Jesus came along to introduce her to himself, who she really needed to make a difference in her life. My friend, our lives should not just be about getting from here to there, but we ought to have a focus on the people all around us that we meet along life's road who need somebody to make a difference in their life. Verse 33, that third man came along. He was a Samaritan. Certainly he won't help. Certainly this Samaritan, this enemy of the Jew, one who was at strife, Samaritans whom the Jews looked upon as even lower than the other Gentiles, they were dogs, they were half-breeds, they didn't deserve any kindness or any respect of any kind. So certainly a Samaritan coming along and seeing this Jewish man lying in the middle of the road, wounded half to death, is not going to do anything about it. Would he? But no, this man did something. He made a difference. He saw the opportunity put in his path and he took the opportunity. And again, I want to suggest to you tonight that we all have opportunities put right in front of us to make a difference. There are people all around us that need someone to come into their lives to make that difference. And rather than just being focused on getting from here to there, we need to be focused on the people we meet along the way and the difference that we can make in their lives. And if we would have eyes that are open to those around us, we would see the opportunities that are put right in front of us to make a difference. In other words, you don't have to go looking for opportunities necessarily. God will put them in front of you. Notice Jesus here doesn't say to prove a point to the lawyer, you need to go open a hospital to help all the wounded and the diseased and so on and so forth. No, he said, you're just being a neighbor as this man. When you help those, you make a difference in the lives of those that are right in your path. And if we would all focus our lives on that, just think of how many we could touch. How can we make a difference in the lives of others? Let me give you 3 thoughts from the passage. Say, Pastor, you just got through the introduction. I know, but it'll be a quick 3 points, I promise. Quick is a very relative term. How can we make a difference in the lives of others? Notice number 1, the compassion. In verse number 33, the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, He had compassion on him. Do you see the compassion? Compassion speaks of just simply taking an interest. Here the priest and the Levite came along, and for whatever reason, they did not take an interest beyond just seeing this man there and noticing his wound and then moving away. But there was no compassion there. They just came to see. They just came for a spectacle, but did not try to make any difference at all. The Good Samaritan was a man who had true compassion. The word translating compassion in this text is only used by or used about Jesus in the whole New Testament. In other words, my friend, that tells me that this is a supernatural God kind of love. Jesus was the only one to ever use this word. It was only ever used about Jesus Christ. It literally means to have the bowels yearn or to feel sympathy or pity. And in every use of the word, 17 times the word is used in the New Testament, in every single use, the result was always action. In other words, it's that 1 John 3 type of love. Don't just say that you love. Don't just make it about your tongue and your word. But when you love, love in deed and in truth. God love is active love. And this man, this Samaritan, took enough interest. He had enough compassion that it wasn't just, oh, I feel bad for him. It wasn't just, oh, he's in rough shape. But he was moved to do something about it. That's compassion that makes a difference. You know, the priest and the Levite took some sort of interest in the man, didn't they? They saw him. The Levite even did enough to come over there and get a good look. He considered what had taken place, but they didn't have enough or the right kind of interest to be moved to action. If we're going to make a difference in people's lives, it takes compassion and interest that moves us, that prompts and motivates action. Can I ask you tonight, is your compassion a moving, motivating compassion? Not just, oh, you take interest in people around you. You take enough interest in people around you to observe and to notice certain things, but is the compassion, the interest you have in others, a compassion that moves you to make a difference in their lives? Notice secondly tonight, not only the compassion, but notice the care. The care. Look at verse 34. And went to him. He had this compassion, this interest that moved him to action. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. Notice, and took care of him. Notice the care. This speaks of getting involved. He had compassion and interest that moved him to action, and he got involved and did what he could to meet the need, to make a difference in this man's life. He saw the need and he showed compassion on the man that moved and motivated him to take action. And notice, he put aside himself and whatever he could do to aid this man. The Bible tells us in verse number 33 that he journeyed. In other words, my friend, he was trying to get from point A to point B. He was on a journey. He may have had a schedule to keep. But when he saw this man, he had enough compassion in him to be moved to action. And though he was on this journey trying to get from point A to point B, though he may have been on a schedule, he took enough time to show this man care, to get involved in his situation. He put himself aside to do whatever he could. He bound up his wounds. I don't imagine that he was traveling with a first aid kit. He had to take whatever he could that he had to bind up this man's wounds. The Bible tells us he poured in oil and wine. Oil to give relief, oil to give some soothing, and the wine to be an antiseptic, to clean this man's wounds out. He took of his own goods to use with this man. Notice he put him on his own beast. The Bible doesn't tell us what kind of animal it was. Whatever it was, obviously this man would have been riding. But now he gets off and walks himself to put this man on the beast. He takes him to an inn, and there he took care of him. I want you to understand that in that, he gave his time. He got involved. When was the last time that you made a difference in somebody's life by responding to their need and getting involved in it? In other words, it wasn't just take an interest and see. Oh, brother, I'm sorry to hear that. But you showed care and got involved. Did what you could to try to meet the need. My friend, if we're going to make a difference in people's lives, it takes compassion, taking an interest. It takes care, getting involved. Notice, thirdly, not only the compassion and the care, but notice the compensation. In verse 35, the Good Samaritan takes 2 pence, his own money. He gives it to the innkeeper and says, here, let this man stay here. Let him rest a while. You take care of him. And I'm going to come back this way. And if when I come back, his care has gone above and beyond that 2 pence, you let me know and I will pay every penny. Notice the compensation. What I want you to see in this is the thought that it takes investment. My friend, if you are going to make a difference in another person's life, it requires an investment. And that investment may come in the form of monetary compensation is here. It may be that you hear of someone who has a need, and God has blessed you, and God's given you the ability, and you go above and beyond what we may say would be normal, but would certainly fall within the commands and the principles of Scripture to help to meet that need and make an investment in that way. But making an investment can take many forms. You can make an investment of time. You can make an investment of giving aid of some kind. But the point is simply this. If you're going to make a difference in somebody's life, it takes an investment. Let me ask again, whose life have you made a difference in by the investment that you made in them? Let me ask this, whose life are you currently making a difference in by the investment that you have made? There are people all around us who need someone to step in and make a difference, to come alongside them and encourage them and exhort them to show compassion, take an interest in their need, to show care and concern and get involved in attempting to meet the need, who will even perhaps bring some compensation into it, who will make an investment in their lives so that you can make a difference. I want you to understand tonight that making a difference in somebody's life means taking an interest. Means getting involved. It means making an investment. And we all ought to have a commitment before the Lord to make a difference in the lives of those around us. A positive difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be true in your family. It ought to be true in this local family, this body of believers. It ought to be true with those you come in contact with on a daily basis that you and I ought to have our eyes open, taking an interest in others, getting involved, making an investment in their lives to make a difference. Throughout the course of this study, we have looked at several areas regarding having fruitful commitments to the Lord. We dealt with how it begins with developing attitudes of unity, sacrifice, prayer, and joy. And as we develop these attitudes that we find in the New Testament, there are several commitments that we should make without compromise in the Christian life. We ought to make a commitment to worship. I hope that you have made an I will commitment to worship. That I'm not just going to be a spectator and a tender, but I am going to actively engage in worshiping Jesus Christ every single time the body of believers comes together for that purpose. My friend, if you're here just attending, if you're here just spectating, you are not taking from the local church what God intends for you to. It ought to be an experience of worship every time you come to the Lord's house. We ought to make a commitment, I will grow with others. Remember, as we looked to Hebrews chapter 10 and found that thought that we need to persevere in our faith, we need to continue, that we need to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ with a desire to exhort one another unto love and good works, to make a difference in one another's lives. And we ought to be seeking to do that. We ought to make the commitment, I will serve. Remember, it is not God's way that we think only of ourselves or think of ourselves first. We ought to make the commitment, I will go. God has given every one of us the responsibility before Him to go out, to seek and to save, to share with others the message of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. We ought to all make a commitment, I'll give cheerfully. The kind of giving that God blesses is not giving that is done out of a grudging heart or of necessity, but the kind of giving that God blesses is the giving that is done cheerfully out of love for the Lord. And finally, we ought to make this commitment, I will make a difference. I believe that the church at large, in Cornerstone specifically, is at a crossroads. Here's what I mean by that. God's work is not done, and His word is not suddenly ineffective. Yet there are many ministries in our world and in our country, in our state, in our city that are struggling, having lost a vision and a fire for God. What makes the difference? Know what the truth is? It's us. It's us. God's work isn't done. His word hasn't lost its effectiveness. He still is working and desires to do a work. His word is still quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But what makes the difference is us. As long as we remain nominal Christians who say, I should do this or that, or I might do this or that, we will only see nominal returns. However, if we will make some commitments that we follow through with, God will do amazing things right here in our midst. You've heard me say before, haven't you? I believe the greatest days of Cornerstone are in front of us. I want to remind you once again that that can be true only as you and I respond to God, as we obey Him, as we make commitments and then follow through with those commitments to live the Christian life the way that He has commanded that we live it, as we pursue Him passionately, not just sit and relax in apathy and just get from here to there, but as we pursue God passionately and do His work passionately, the greatest days of this ministry and of our usefulness to the Lord can be in front of us. What do you want? Do you want a nominal Christian life that sees nominal returns? Or do you want a life that is on fire for the Lord, has a passion for Him, and sees God work in amazing ways? What do you want? The choice is yours, and it's mine. What decisions are we going to make? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, is there a commitment that you need to make tonight? We've given a number of commitments over the weeks of this study, and perhaps there have been some commitments that you've made and not followed through on, or maybe there have been some commitments that you ought to have made and you haven't. Maybe you're needing to take the step of just making a commitment tonight, God, I'm going to seek to make a difference in people's lives. I'm going to have my eyes open. God, I'm going to stop just looking forward to getting to heaven. I'm going to start going through life, taking an interest in others, taking observance of the people you put on my path, having a compassion for them, seeking to care, getting involved in their life, and making an investment in others so that I can make a difference for you. God is speaking to your heart about a commitment. The choice is yours. Will you respond tonight? Father, help us now to respond in obedience to you as you lead and guide us in our lives. And we'll praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you